From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Now really, you're just embarrassing yourself. Okay? We have a great show for you today. We've got Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. He'll be joining us to play our games. That is, if you're keeping track, two U.S. senators on our show in 2 weeks. We get one more. For a set of three, we can trade them in for one cable TV star. So we're excited about that. We wouldn't trade you for anybody, though. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Deanne.
Hey, Deanne, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Nederland, Colorado.
Nederland, Colorado?
Yes, right outside of Boulder.
Oh, okay. So what do you do there?
I actually run a nonprofit.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, that's very unprofitable of you.
I guess that means you don't work with marijuana.
I don't. Firm nor deny.
No, I understand. Well, Dan, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian performing March 7th and 8th at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, Alonzo Bowden.
Hello.
Here he is. Next, say hello to a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. It's Faith Saley is here.
Hi, Dan.
And lastly, a writer whose newest book is Alpha Better Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt Jr. is here. Well, welcome to the show, Deanne. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to play?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I'm bored with this. When does real TV come back?
That was an editor at Cosmo, tired of what big sporting event that seems to have gone on forever?
The Winter Olympics.
It was the Winter Olympics. Very good. Yes. This was the week that people began wishing the Sochi Olympics really did only have four rings. NBC lost the one compelling storyline they had when they removed Bob Costas' eye from the set. NBC struggled to bring viewers back. They tried making the other anchors grotesque. Abscesses, sores. They even let Matt Lauer keep his goatee. Nothing worked.
I thought Bob Costas was really brave in that environment to say he had pink eye, because that sounds really gay.
That's true.
You know? He could have called it conjunctivitis, but it was like, no, yeah. Y'all, I believe pink eye.
I believe Putin has made pink eye illegal. There was some drama in the sporting events, though. The U.S. speed skating team blamed their poor performance, did you hear this, on their new speed suits. They had never tried them before in competition. Imagine how horrified they were to discover that these supposed new speed suits were just Lululemon yoga pants. Do you know how hard it is to skate quickly while covering your butt with your hands? Mm-hmm.
That is a big thing, though. The speed skaters. It's funny that I noticed much about it, but I'm. You know. But the U.S. is actually supposed to be one of the best speed skating teams in the world.
It's our sport,
and we couldn't win a thing. And they're saying the suits were slowing them down.
Yeah, that's true.
Try it on? Why don't you try it on? You walk around your house in your speed suit.
I see London. I see France. Lululemon yoga pants.
Okay. The other big controversy this week, did you see this as we get into the second week, was the post-race interview with Bodie Miller, the skier, because the interviewer pressed him about his family tragedy until he cried. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, you can't make the athletes cry. Are you kidding? These are the Olympics. If you have a deceased relative and you are an Olympian, you will be asked about it incessantly. And if you do not have a deceased relative, one will be provided for you.
Absolutely. There's never been an Olympic athlete with a happy story.
It's true.
It's always the most sad, tragic thing that they got, that they overcame to make. Just once, I want to hear, like, some millionaires, like, this is just a hobby.
Yeah.
I flew over in my own jet.
Yeah. Okay, Deanne, here is your next quote.
Let me apologize. Art history was one of my favorite subjects in high school.
That was a man who stopped just short of saying, some of my best friends are art historians. In an apology this week, some would say another apology this week. Who was it?
President Obama.
Yes, very President good. Obama. Very good. So President Obama has often been criticized by Republicans for apologizing too much. This week he was criticized for apologizing to art history majors. This is what happened. In a speech a few weeks ago, he suggested that people could make more money with a technical education than, quote, with an art history degree, unquote. This caused an outcry from art history majors all across the country. They were very angry. They banded together and agreed to not put as much foam as usual on our grande lattes. That'll show us. I don't know why they're angry. President Obama has supported art history majors. For example, he wants to raise the minimum wage. What's the problem here?
Have to be careful doing art history jokes on NPR.
I know.
You're kind of in their wheelhouse now.
It's really true.
I think when he said that,
yeah,
though he lost the art history majors, he gained the votes of all the art history majors' parents.
That's true. All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Membership numbers have dropped like a pair of oversized polka dot trousers.
That was NPR's own Renee Montaigne. Carl, you are more Renee-ish than Renee is.
Thank you.
Talking about how the U.S. is facing a desperate shortage of what?
Clowns?
Clowns, yes.
Ooh.
Clowns.
Now, I think people are applauding the shortage of clowns rather than her answer.
An organization called the Clowns of America reports that membership has been plummeting now for almost a decade. They suggest the reason is that young people just don't have interest in clowning the way that they used to, and that older clowns are dying off, mainly in car accidents when you can lose 20 of them at a time. Then you don't get new clowns because clowns rarely get the chance to reproduce. No, they're like pandas in this regard. We have to carefully find the mates, put them in an enclosure with maybe a monkey banging cymbals together for mood. They like that.
Maybe, you know, potential clowns need more incentives, like bigger cars and smaller shoes.
That's true. Maybe we need to draft clowns. Like if your feet are too big for the army, hey,
flat feet,
there's another branch
here.
Of service.
I think the clowns should just hit up the art historians and say, we're hiring.
That's true. Carl, how did Deanne do?
Deanne, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Very well done, Deanne. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody to join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, before the games began in Sochi, we had all sorts of fears about the place: shoddy construction, corruption, terrorist attacks. Well, it turns out that one of the venues was very nearly destroyed, but by what?
By Russians.
Who knew? They have access.
One of the venues is nearly destroyed by, I don't, can you give me a hint?
Well, it was on the roof. We don't know if it was a hot tin roof.
Oh, there was a kitten that caused the whole roof to collapse.
That's exactly right.
I read it.
The Adler Arena Skating Center, home to many of the events you didn't watch this last week, suffered a major ceiling collapse back in October, just a few months before the games. Now we know why. Just released security cam footage shows a cat who somehow got into the ceiling, falling through onto the floor, bringing with it tiles, electrical work, conduits, the whole thing. They spent $50 billion in these games. They forgot about cat-proofing. It makes it so exciting. What if every venue had a surprise animal?
Yeah.
Figure skating gets really exciting when a giant anaconda drops onto the ice.
No, that's just Johnny Weir in one of his cool costumes.
I know.
They should just have the cats do the events. It'd be a lot better videos.
I'd love to see
go viral like this all the time. The whole Olympics would be viral.
I'd love to see cats do like the half pipe.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they do.
I think this is a great idea. Animal
cat.
Planet. Yeah.
Cat Olympics.
Cat luge and curling.
Right. And they wouldn't cry. Cats don't cry when they lose. They don't care. Hey, I'm a cat. I don't know. I just picked this up the other day. I don't care.
You know, it'd be fun to do curling with cats, except you actually use the cat as a rock.
Yes.
Send the cat down a. You sweep, and the cat's like, whoa, hang on. Well, hang on. Hang on.
Hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Faith Saley, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you all so much. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Patrick Boyce of Southampton, Massachusetts.
Hey, how are things in Southampton, Patrick?
Wonderful.
I'm glad to hear it. A nice place. And what do you do there?
I'm a primary care internal medicine physician.
Oh, you're a doctor. Mm. You actually take care of, like, people.
Yes.
As opposed to their parts.
Mm. That's right.
That's good. I appreciate that. Well, welcome to our show, Patrick. You are going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Patrick's topic?
Turns out Picasso was just really bad at painting.
As we heard before, Obama dissed art historians this week. Well, they have proved their worth by making an amazing discovery about a famous work of art. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about a discovery in art. Guess the real story, you'll win Carl's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
I sure am.
All right. Your first story comes from Alonzo Bowden.
It's the shoes. The famous statue of Michael Jordan in flight in front of the United Center in Chicago is missing one thing, the swoosh. The famous Nike trademark is missing from the most famous shoe of all time. It was a sponsorship dispute. The Jordan statue was to be unveiled upon the opening of the United Center, the new home of the Chicago Bulls, and United Airlines, having paid millions for naming rights, had a problem with Nike getting such a prominent display for free. They demanded the swoosh be removed. It's not that we don't love Michael, said John Billsworth, United's public relations officer. It's just that we believe the statue should represent Michael Jordan in Chicago, not a shoe brand. When a rep from Nike discovered the missing swoosh, they had an intern camp out near the United Center and paint it back on the shoe. It was a game of cat and mouse. Nike would have the swoosh painted on, and the United Center would clean it off. After numerous violations for loitering and vandalism, Nike's legal department advised them to stop. As a result of this, the Jordan statue will be swoosh-free. So in answer to a question first asked by Mars Blackman, the Spike Lee character in the old Air Jordan commercials, I guess it's not the shoes.
The Michael Jordan statue doesn't actually have a Nike swoosh. It was just painted on there by Nike interns. Your next story of the secret lives of art comes from Roy Blunt Jr.
For 500 years, people have scrutinized the grotesque details of the Garden of Earthly Delights, the famous triptych by Hieronymus Bosch. Not until now has anyone discovered there a song. This week, Amelia Hamrick, a student at Oklahoma Christian University, revealed on her Tumblr blog that she had found the notes of that song. She found those notes in the part of the triptych that represents damned souls being tormented in hell. She found them on the tiny figure representing one of those damned souls. To be precise, she found them etched across that damned soul's bare buttocks. Yay, and her blog post went viral. viral in part because she included a recording of the song played out loud for the first time for all to hear, but viral mostly because of the title she gave the song, Butt Song from Hell.
The quote, butt music from hell discovered in the painting The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch. And your last story of art hiding something comes from Faith Saley.
The Lincoln Memorial, awe-inspiring, breathtaking, a monumental lie. That's the bombshell recently dropped by Princeton PhD candidate Margot Quinlan, who has discovered that our 16th president hated sitting. America's iconic masterpiece of Lincoln sedately ensconced in a chair makes a liar out of Honest Abe. Because according to his most obscure writings, the famously lanky 6'4" Lincoln suffered so much restless discomfort from being confined to 19th century furniture that he refused to have a chair at his desk. Lincoln mused that, quote, sitting saps the soul. I find in my darkest hours that nothing so inspires as standing over my team of rivals who are made to sit like schoolchildren.
All right, then. Here are the three potential discoveries. From Alonzo Bowden, the fact that the statue of Michael Jordan here in Chicago does not really have a Nike swoosh. It just got painted on by Nike. From Roy Blunt Jr., the discovery, deciphering, and playing of, quote, the butt music from hell found in an old painting. And from Faith Saley, that Lincoln, depicted sitting in the famous statue of him in the Lincoln Memorial, never really liked to sit. Which of these is the real discovery in the art world this week?
Well, I think it's a tough one, but I'm going to go with the Michael Jordan story.
Are you really?
Yes.
That you feel that the Michael Jordan statue did not have the Nike swoosh, so Nike painted it on for years until they were caught.
I think it sounds very possible, knowing Nike.
Well, to give us the correct answer, here is our intern, Seth. That was Seth, a French horn player. Thank you, Seth. Playing the butt music from hell, written hundreds of years ago on the backside of a tormented soul in hell by Hieronymus Bosch, and only this week deciphered, transcribed, and played. So I obviously, as you now know, Roy had the correct answer. You did not win, but you did earn a point for Alonzo by being fooled by his very credible story of Nike being up to their Nike ways.
Hey, Doc, just because it didn't win and I made it up doesn't mean it's not true.
It's a great story. I'm still going to believe it.
Patrick, thank you so much for playing.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
The song is over. It's all behind me.
And now the game where we ask significant people about insignificant things. This is a surprise.
Are you talking about my day job?
I know. Well, Mark Warner says he got off to a good start making it to Harvard Law School, but then promptly failed at everything he tried. No wonder, then, that he had to settle for a career in the U.S. Senate. He's the current Democratic senator from Virginia, and he is the former governor of that great commonwealth. We are delighted to have him here in Chicago. Senator Mark Warner, welcome to the Great Commonwealth. Now, you, although being well-known for your association with Virginia, are not from there originally, right?
Shh.
Oh, really?
No, I'm actually originally from Indiana and then moved to Virginia after college and law school.
And they don't hold that against you? I thought they were very, what's the word, hateful.
Well, they are.
Outsiders. So you had gone to Virginia in business, right? You were
Yeah, I got out of law school and tried to become a business guy. First time, took my life savings, invested in a little energy startup company, went to work for that company, helped the company go broke in 6 weeks.
Six weeks?
Wow. Went into real estate and failed at that in 6 months, and was literally flat broke living out of my car, and this was back in 1982, and there was this new technology coming around called cell phones, and I went to all my law school classmates who were at all these fine firms and said, you know, there's this new thing called cell phones, we ought to invest in it, and to a person, they all said, Warner, go get a real job. Who's going to want a cell phone? Most of them are still practicing law.
I know. And now, this is interesting. So you were a Harvard Law School graduate, and you were living out of your car?
Did you start thinking maybe you should have majored in art history?
Well, no, but I do have a middle daughter who just graduated in art history.
No, really?
And she's going to be really upset about this.
I know,
tonight.
But she got an apology.
Yeah.
Well, what is her ambition, other than to sponge off you?
Well...
So you were in Virginia, you were a successful businessman, and you decided to run against, ironically enough, a well-known senator from Virginia named John Warner. So it was Warner v. Warner.
Confused the heck out of everybody.
Yeah. Mark...
What happened was, you know, here he had been in for a long, long time. Good guy, actually. People in Virginia were smart in rehiring him and not me. But, you know, I was a tech guy. He was the established senator. He'd actually been married to Elizabeth Taylor at one point. And so our campaign... Our one good idea was we had a bumper strip that said on it simply, Mark, not John.
Right. Mm.
And people would come up and say, is that a biblical reference, not a political reference?
Really?
Honestly, yes.
That probably gave you some credibility.
Again, I got the silver medal.
There you are. Exactly. If you had won, did you get to be married to Elizabeth Taylor? Was that part of the thing? Now that didn't work out, but you did eventually get elected governor.
Yep.
Which was nice. And in Virginia, which is interesting, they only let people be governor once. Mm.
It is. It's the last state in the country with a one-term governor restriction. That's the downside. The upside is you don't get introduced as governor. You get introduced as His Excellency, the governor of the Commonwealth, and everybody has to stand up.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. It's
you
pretty
get
cool.
To be, you actually get to be an Excellency.
You get to be an Excellency, and people would stand up. My wife and three daughters never would, but it was pretty cool.
Right.
I hope at least one time when somebody referred to you as Your Excellency, you said, you're not so bad yourself.
Now, you've been in the Senate since 2009.
Yep.
Right? You were elected in 2008, and you've really become known, I think, in the Senate for your work on one specific issue, and that is trying to deport Justin Bieber. obviously, you're riding a popular wave. Could you tell me how you became interested in expunging this menace to everything we have done?
I was going to work and doing a radio show, and...
Always a mistake.
And it was out of Virginia Beach where we've got the Navy and lots of stuff, and I'm talking about the Navy and I'm talking about the budget and these things, and I've done the show before, and the guy goes, well, Senator, you know, what do you think about this thing about deporting Justin Bieber? And I said, I don't know as a senator, but with a father of three daughters, 19 to 24, I'll sign the petition. And I, you know, went to a hearing, gave a speech, and I came into the office a couple hours later, and the whole place was exploding. They were going, oh, Senator, we've had more press in 3 hours on Justin Bieber than you've 5 years trying to work on the budget.
Everybody wanted to know.
Ooh. Everybody wanted to know.
You know, this could be, I'm just saying, you're one of 100. This might be your ticket to prominence. Mm-hmm. Convene a committee of some kind, the Committee for Investigation of Canadian Activities, and... this would be awesome. You can rack up witnesses and say, are you now or have you ever been a believer? Telling you. This would be awesome.
I somehow think going up against millions of believers is scarier than the Tea Party.
Now you're right.
Talk about equally informed.
Yeah, you have three girls. You know how to handle it.
Oh, fighting words.
I know. My daughter... texted me after that, and she said, please don't deport Justin. You
know, so really? You're running for re-election this cycle, which must be a little daunting, right?
Long roadshow.
Speaking of roadshow, you're here in Chicago. You're fundraising, right?
Kind of what most of us do in this.
You have to do
too much in this
business. I've always wondered about this. I can't imagine what it would be like to have to ask strangers for money to support you doing your job. It seems so humiliating and certainly far beneath my dignity.
You
but
get used to it.
Have you ever been like faced with a wealthy donor? Like somebody who's like going to write you that massive check that's going to like solve your financial problems for the week, and he is just being an idiot. And you just can't tell them that, and you just have to bite your tongue, and you just want to say, I'm sorry, but no amount of money is worth me listening to this nonsense.
That was why I was a business guy and made money first before I went into politics.
Really? I mean, but you know, as a business guy, that having a lot of money does not make you necessarily smart, right? I'm just saying.
Well, that's not what us one percenters think.
Really, he just gave me a look of such incomprehension. It was like, you mean it doesn't? Well, Senator Mark Warner, a pleasure to meet you and to talk to you, but it is time now to play a game that we're calling...
Danger! Get away! Ah!
Sure, you call yourself a Warner, but do you ever really warn anybody about anything? We're going to ask you three questions about things and people who are actually trying to warn others of imminent danger. Get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Carl, who is Senator Warner playing for?
The senator is playing for Linda Dunn of Ramsey, New Jersey.
All right. Here's your first question. A lot of warning labels are placed on products in reaction to prior lawsuits, such as which one of these? A, a warning that you could hurt your hands when you clap for the clapper. Remember, clap on, clap off. B, that maybe you're born with it, maybe it's Maybelline, and maybe it causes pink eye. Or C, that you should just stretch it before you just do it because you could just pull it.
What? Don't look at me, huh?
We
in
got
the
nothing.
Area of digital, C.
C, you're going to go for C. You should just stretch it before you just do it.
In the Nike theme of earlier.
No, actually, it was A. It was the clapper. After a lawsuit filed against the clapper company, the label on the clapper sound-activated light switch now says, you don't have to clap very hard. All right, you still have two more chances here. In November, police in Norfolk, England, issued a warning to all residents to do what? A, to report anyone walking around pronouncing Norfolk in a hilarious way. Ooh. B, to ignore anyone dressed as a clown walking down the street. Or B, be aware that once they pop, they will not be able to stop.
Well, since one of our largest cities in Virginia is Norfolk. I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A. Norfolk. It was actually ignore the clowns.
Yeah.
Apparently, there were people walking around dressed as clowns in Norfolk, and they were trying to attract attention. So police were like, just leave the clown be.
So they have clowns wandering the streets, and here in America, we can't get a clown.
It's true. We should have...
We're outsourcing our clowns.
Your Excellency, I think once you get done with the beaver deal, you got to bring some clowns
in.
Bring
clowns, yeah.
Last... One more question. See if we can get this one. Last year, the London Fire Department issued a warning to all residents to be careful not to get stuck in objects after they received an emergency call from which of these? A man stuck in his own shirt? B, a man stuck in an entry-level job? Or C, a child with its hand trapped in a vending machine, a child with its head stuck in an ironing board, an adult stuck in a child's toy car, a child with its head stuck in a massage chair, someone with a test tube stuck on their finger, and a child with a tambourine stuck on its head.
Definitely C.
Absolutely. And that was just a partial list of the things that the citizens of London have gotten themselves stuck in when the fire department issued that warning. Carl, how did Senator Warner do in our quiz?
One correct answer, but he needed at least two to win for Linda Dunn.
All right. Senator Mark Warner is one of the top two senators from the state of Virginia. Mark Warner, thank you so much for joining us. Senator Mark Warner, everybody.
I'm on the danger man in a dangerous city, and I lead a dangerous life. I got a dangerous car, goes dangerous speeds, and a very dangerous wife. I got 16 dangerous girlfriends, not counting one or two.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Faith Saley, Alonzo Bowden, and Roy Blunt Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Thank you. In just a minute, Carl takes over for our friend Adam Felber as a writer for HBO's Real Rhyme with Bill Maher in our listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, it's time for a new game that we are calling
Secrets of the Amazon.com.
Now, as you know, Amazon tells you what else was bought by the people who bought the thing you're looking at as a way of encouraging you to shop around. We're going to tell you three products. You tell us what else people bought. People who looked at that product, you win a point. Ready? Your category is books by politicians. So, Roy, you're up first. According to Amazon, people who bought Mitt Romney's book, No Apology, The Case for American Greatness, also bought which of these? A book called Rich Dad, Rich Dad. B, a book called The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks. Or C, A Fourth Home.
Wow. First one is Rich Dad, Rich Dad?
Rich Dad, book called Rich Dad, Rich Dad, a book called The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks, or C, A Fourth Home. That's what Amazon tells you, that people who bought Mitt Romney's book
right.
also bought.
I hear what you're saying. Well,
wow.
So I'll go for B.
You're going to go for B, a book called The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks. You're right. That's what they are. Very good point for you, Roy. Faith, the Ooh. Next one is for you. Customers who bought Hillary Clinton's book, Living History, also bought which of these? A size XL naughty senator Halloween costume. B, a 40-pound bag of precious cat brand cat litter for problem cats. Or C, the complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks.
Oh, no!
Ooh. Maybe it's about poultry.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that would be better.
No.
I'm going to go B.
You're going to go with problem cats?
Yeah.
You're right. That's what they bought. People who were interested in Senator Clinton's book had problem cats. I can't explain it. All right, next one is for you, Alonzo.
I'm going to go with The Complete A-Hole's Guide. Handling Chicks.
Interestingly, not an option here. Customers who bought John Boehner's memoir, A Bar Owner's Son, also bought what? A, the book A Liquor Distributor's Cousin Once Removed. B, the book Unicorns Are Jerks, a coloring book exposing the cold, hard, sparkly truth. Or C, Bose Speaker of the House edition speakers for your house.
Wow. I'm going to go with B.
You're going to
go anti-unicorn.
Unicorns Are Jerks.
Book.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Yes. The book is called Unicorns Are Jerks. A coloring book exposing the cold, hard, sparkly truth. People who are interested in Boehner are also interested in dashing the dreams of children and coloring. Okay, panel, time for you to answer some more questions from this week's news. Roy, you're familiar with Leonardo da Vinci's drawing of that perfectly proportioned man?
I posed for that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
This week we found that a careful examination of the sketch of that naked man reveals what?
Oh, my Lord.
Does he have music on his butt?
Is this some kind of a lurid...
No.
His belly button is in the wrong place. Is that close?
No.
He doesn't have a belly button.
He does indeed have a belly button.
Well,
he also has something else.
He's missing something else.
He apparently was doing some heavy lifting before...
He has a rupture?
Yeah, he's a hernia.
Hernia.
He has a hernia.
God.
Well, we just spoiled the end of the next Dan Brown novel, I guess, but... close study by surgeons at London's Imperial College have revealed that the Vitruvian Man, as the drawing is known, had a hernia. meaning the guy who was supposed to represent ideal man was actually a dork who got to sit out P.E.
So he has a big sort of swelling on
the... Yeah, it's a little swelling, which people hadn't really examined, but they said, oh, I mean, you know, they believe that Da Vinci was drawing to life, probably a corpse, and that he drew in that little hernia, and that might even have killed the guy.
I just want to point out, you know who probably discovered this?
Who?
An art history major.
This is true.
Okay, so we'll give them one.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's a game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Kalamazoo, Michigan on March 20th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Kelly from Turlock, California.
Turlock? Where is Turlock, California?
Turlock is about an hour south of Sacramento.
It's very dry there, I'm told.
Very dry.
Yeah. Have you considered, like, picking up and taking your family, putting in the Model T, and driving to Oklahoma? Anyway, well, welcome to the show, Kelly. Carl Castle right now is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. You ready to play?
I am.
Here is your first limerick.
One new species we've found, but oh my, the sex life is rough on the guy. His marsupial powers must go 14 hours, which he does, then he lies down to...
die.
Yes, indeed. Die. Scientists in Australia have discovered a new marsupial, the black-tailed antechinus. He's a cuddly little guy that mates for 14 frantic hours and then dies from exhaustion and rug burn. Think of him as the sting of the marsupial kingdom.
What a way to go.
Yeah. All right, here's your next limerick.
All of Phoenix runs home to see Mama, because there's mayhem just like in Tijuana. The small, shaky pets have become a large threat, so beware of a pack of...
Piranhas?
That would be interesting. To be walking down the streets of Phoenix and being threatened by a pack of feral piranhas. And it does kind of rhyme. Three syllables, a tiny pet.
I'm at a loss here.
Yeah, it's chihuahuas. Which, of course, as everybody knows, rhymes with Tijuana, doesn't it? Roaming packs of feral chihuahuas have taken over the town of Maryvale near Phoenix, Arizona. They're stalking children on the way to school. They're taunting upstanding citizens, and they're carrying blonde starlets around in tiny purses. Police say they're not sure what's caused the local Chihuahua uprising, but warn residents that if they are ever threatened by a pack of wild Chihuahuas, the best thing to do is never, ever tell anybody.
So what do? Just carry a broom?
All right, very good. You still have one more chance. Here's your last limerick.
While relieving, my sounds aren't gentle. In other stalls, folks get judgmental. So good money I pay for alone time each day. The toilet I use is a...
rhymes with judgmental, gentle.
Rental?
Yes, rental.
Oh, very good. Good.
For just $8 a day, you can rent a private luxury restroom in Midtown Manhattan. The company, which is called Posh Stow & Go, provides tourists with an alternative to Starbucks. But you'd better hurry. $8 a day is so cheap that chances are by the time you go to use your rented bathroom, four publishing interns and an aspiring filmmaker will be living in it. Carl, how did Kelly do in our quiz?
Well, Kelly had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins our prize.
Well done. Congratulations. Thanks for playing, Kelly.
Thank you.
Now it is time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Faith Saley and Alonzo Bowden are tied for first. Each has 4 points. Roy Blunt Jr. has 3.
That means, Roy, that you are up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. This week, a UN panel called for the prosecution of Kim Jong-un for crimes against humanity committed in blank.
In North Korea.
Right, according to a report released Tuesday by the Congressional Budget Office, raising the blank would have mixed effects.
Minimum wage.
Right. The company behind the addictive social networking game Blank filed for an IPO on Tuesday.
Oh, I think it's Candy Crush.
It is Candy Crush. This week, hackers accessed personal information dating back to 1998 for over 300,000 students and faculty members at the University of Blank.
I don't know. The University of... where's a place where hackers congregate? Maryland.
Yes.
Oh, where did I get that? Ooh. Ooh.
After an Arizona woman complained she'd been given the wrong medicine, her Walgreens pharmacist told her, quote, blank.
too bad.
No, she said, well, you know, they both start with an H.
Ooh.
To sync up their schedule with the rest of Europe, people in Spain are thinking of ending the tradition of the mid-afternoon blank.
Siesta.
Right. A woman in South Carolina spent the night in prison after failing to blank for 10 years.
turn on her blinker.
To return her VHS copy of Monster in Law.
No.
Even though the video store she rented it from went out of business years ago, police still arrested Finley for holding the movie so long. She's out on bond, and hopefully the judge will agree that having to watch Monster in Law was punishment enough. Carl, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Roy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, and Roy has the lead.
Okay, Roy, very well done. Mm. We have flipped a coin, and Faith has elected to go next. Fill in the blank. As violence between protesters and the government escalated this week, the UN announced it was imposing sanctions on the leaders in blank.
Ukraine.
Yes. The Department of Homeland Security warned airlines that terrorists are working on new ways to hide explosives in their blank.
Shoes.
Yes. A shopper at a Chevron station in California was the only person in the country to buy a winning blank on Wednesday.
Lottery ticket.
Yeah, Powerball. In the wake of the Time Warner Comcast merger, the FCC plans to rewrite the rules on blank.
Net neutrality.
Yes. Ever since a storm hit in December, a woman in Germany has been having trouble with her horse because it blanked.
Started... dancing.
No, it moved into her house and will not leave. This week, CeeLo Green announced that he will not return as a judge in the hit TV show Blank.
The Voice.
Right, Jamie Coots, the snake-handling pastor and star of the Snake Salvation reality TV show, died this week after he was blanked.
Bitten by a snake.
Yes. Yeah. A California man was identified and arrested for robbing a church after police found a blank at the scene.
Oh, his wallet.
A phone with a selfie of the suspect. It's understandable. The man was obviously proud of his thieving skills and wanted to celebrate his robbery with a selfie. He couldn't wait till he got home. Police on the scene of the robbery looked around and thought if only some vigilant onlooker had managed to take a photo of the thief. Carl, how did Faith do?
6 correct answers, 12 more points. She now has 16 points and the lead.
All right, then. How many, then? Very good, Faith. How many, then... does Alonzo need to take this thing?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Here we go, Alonzo. This is for the game, fill in the blank. Actor Will Smith was Jimmy Fallon's first guest in his new job as the host of the blank.
Tonight Show.
Right. After being arrested for a short time in Sochi, the band Blank immediately released a new anti-Putin song. Oh, you remember that part.
Yeah. Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot. A Monday night, a blank the size of 3 football fields passed by the Earth.
Asteroid.
Yeah, and on Thursday, the messaging service WhatsApp was acquired by social networking site Blank for $19 billion.
Facebook?
Right, after first enduring the polar vortex and then the Arctic blast, meteorologists this week warned the Midwest to get ready for blank.
Cold.
A Texas hooker. I don't know what it is. Investigators looked into the death of 2 security officers on board the Maersk container ship that was seen in the blank movie.
Oh, Captain Phillips.
Right. This week, the first automated teller machines that distribute the virtual currency blank were unveiled in the U.S.
Bitcoin?
Right. An Iowa man is suing for jobless benefits after he was fired for using a forklift to blank.
Ooh. To race?
No. He used his forklift to get his stuck Twix candy bar out of a vending machine. So you know
that.
What happens. So you put the money in, you want a candy bar, the candy comes out and
you
gets stuck on the little wire thing. So he did. He shook it. He pounded it. Nothing happened. So Robert McKevitt, the greatest American who has ever lived,
yes,
went and got his forklift, scooped up the vending machine. He lifted it 2 feet in the air and dropped it. And he did this 6 times. Until the Twix bar fell and he was able to enjoy his snack. Mm-hmm. With what I hope was a well-earned sense of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. He was fired 5 days later. Mm-hmm. Carl, did Alonzo do well enough to win?
He needed 6 to tie. He had 6 correct answers to tie. So with 16 points, Faith Saley and Alonzo Bowden are this week's co-champions.
Well done. Mm-hmm. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists how they will spice things up for the next Olympic Games. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Cy Sims Foundation, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts since 1985, cysimsfoundation.org. And the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our CFO is Ann Nien. Our intern is Give Me Liberty or Give Me Seth Kelly. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Delargic and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced each week by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our special thanks this week to Mr. Nicholas Gibson. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is His Excellency, Michael Danforth. Now, panel, how will they spice things up at the next Olympics? Alonzo Bowden.
Thin ice skating. They just can't get enough men to watch figure skating, so they're just going to have patches of thin ice and skaters won't know where they are, and just adds a bit of spice.
It does. Mm-hmm. Roy Blunt Jr.
Well, apparently Russia is just not quite evil enough to drive the ratings, so next time North Korea.
And Faith Saley.
There will be a pirate theme with real skeletons competing in the skeleton and Bob Costas wearing an eye patch.
And if we see any of that happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Roy Blunt Jr. Faith Saley, Alonzo Bowden. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. And we'll be next week when we see you again. This is NPR.